The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I want to welcome you to the house of God. And on this special occasion of Mother's Day, we have had to suspend our series and consider and attach some importance to this day. We want to exhort ourselves in the Word, encourage ourselves in the Word, and build our faith so we can accomplish. I'd like for you to please stand with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter number 11. Remember that Hebrews chapter 11 has been considered as the gallery of men and women who exhibited outstanding faith that God honored and we are supposed to learn from. Hebrews 11 is also seen as the chapter of heroes of faith. And remember, there were women in that place, so there were also heroines of faith. Today I title my message, Lessons from the Heroines of Faith, which means I'm going to pick my theme from Hebrews 11 and particularly focusing on the women of faith in that place. And let's start from verse 1, which gives us definition of faith. Then we'll skip somewhere to verse 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So we will be focusing on these verses of scripture, and as we proceed, we'll be adding some more verses in the same chapter. So the title is Lessons from the Heroines of Faith. It could have been Heroes of Faith, but Lessons from the Heroines of Faith. The first person we want to study is Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. Abraham was the one who received the promise of God in Genesis chapter 12. And by Genesis chapter 15, God had established a covenant with him beyond any shadow of doubt that the things that were promised in chapter 12 were ratified and secured in chapter 15 through the covenant. In the promise, God said that I will make you great and I'll multiply your seed. And he said that blessed is whosoever blesses you and cursed is whosoever curses you. And he goes on to say that I will make your name great as well. And it goes on and on. So the promise was given to Abraham. But remember, Abraham's partner was Sarah. So it would take the two of them to deliver in this promise of God. Now, if you read the preceding verses of verse 11, so the verses that come before 11, it's talking about Abraham who was taking a step in obedience to the word of God. And the Bible says he sojourned to the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. As a manifestation of Abraham's faith regarding the word of God, the promise that he had, he took a step and he followed the direction of God into a country that he did not know. So he became a stranger and a pilgrim in that land. And God considered this as obedience to his word. There are certain stages in your life when God is leading you, is quite clear. But there are other stages in your life when God is leading you, is not quite clear. And you may have to hold on to the word, stay in the light of the word, and follow him as he prompts you on daily basis. That's when that his word becomes a light to your path and a lamp unto your feet. In other words, a lamp can only throw light a short distance ahead of you. But as you continue walking further, the light will also be moving alongside you. So what you cannot see 10 feet away, you will see it when you take some 10 steps forward. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? There are certain times that before a pastor rises to preach the word, he may know from the beginning to the end. And there are also times that when he rises, he may just have little phrases and clauses from the Holy Spirit. And he may have to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead him. But all this is dependent on the previous study of the preacher, the previous dedication and devotion and prayerfulness and staying in the presence of God, where now he begins to pour forth into your life. So in a nutshell, Abraham's obedience was seen by God as an act of his faith, leaving the country that he was in and pursuing after the purpose of God in a place that he did not know. He's simply dependent on the guidance of God. I find that lots of Christians get worried when they get to a place and they don't really know what to do. Tell the next person, don't be disturbed, don't be disturbed. Just continue serving God. Continue loving God. Continue appreciating God. Continue devoting yourself to God. Because in the fullness of time, he will unfold his will to you. If I have a witness here, let the amen be resounding. Now, apart from what Abraham did, look at verse 11, the early clause. It says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. Through faith also. That word also presupposes that it was not only Abraham who acted in faith, but Sarah, as a companion of Abraham, also acted in faith. So Sarah also, through faith, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So let's look at it. Now, this kind of faith has been described as the life-giving faith. Today, as I preach the word and you listen, may this life-giving faith reach you once again in the name of Jesus Christ. That in case something was dying in your body, may God revive it and resuscitate it. In case the enemy was destroying something in your body, may God arrest the enemy and restore life to you. Can I hear an amen? So through faith also. So it was not just Abraham who believed for the promises of the Father to be fulfilled, but Sarah also demonstrated outstanding faith. Through faith, she herself received strength. She herself received strength. Now that suggests to me that in their walk with God, there was a stage where Sarah lacked strength. There was a stage where Sarah was not strong enough. It may have been mental, it may have been emotional, it may have been physical, it may even have been spiritual, it could have been moral. I'm just conjecturing. But whatever it was, there was a certain lack of strength in Sarah's life. You and I have been informed in the scripture that Sarah and Abraham were past the age of childbearing. So it is quite clear that physically they were not strong enough to have produced seed and to have conceived in the womb of the mother, or in the womb of Sarah. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? In other words, in the natural, it was an impossibility for Abraham and Sarah to have achieved pregnancy and to have had the child of promise delivered. But available to them in the spirit was another component. A component that when it was brought to bear on the scene would change the equation in Abraham and Sarah's life. When your natural strength fails, your supernatural strength is there to help you by the grace of God. So Sarah herself receiving strength means Sarah received strength from above. Sarah received strength from on high. This was not a natural strength. It was supernaturally provided. Examples abound in scriptures concerning how other men of old who came to a place where they lacked strength were strengthened by God to accomplish amazing feats. One of them was Samson, as in Judges chapter 16 verse 28. Samson had disclosed the secret of his strength, which was in his dreadlocks. So they had shaven his hair and his strength had left him. Now they had arrested Samson, and previously, as he could easily break the chains and break the cords and ropes, he no longer could. They took him captive and brought out his eyes. And so Samson was blind. And so Samson found himself chained, and he was living like somebody was providing energy to run like a corn mill, if you like. So instead of accomplishing the purpose of God, he had now become a captive of the enemies and had been taken and was being used in grinding wheat and all kinds of things. But Samson noticed that there was a feast, and about 3,000 people had gathered on the rooftop. It was a big building with many pillars. And while they were rejoicing, some anger grew up in Samson. And there was a small boy around, and Samson asked the small boy to assist him to get hold of the main pillars. And this gentleman assisted him. He put one hand on one pillar and the other hand on the other pillar. And in Judges 16:28, Samson prayed a simple prayer which will manifest the strength and the power of God for somebody who had become weak by reason of disclosing his secret as a strong man. Now, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson said that these Philistines have not only arrested me, but they have done such enormous harm to me by gouging out my eyes, by removing my eyeballs from the socket, that I was blind. Samson said, even in this weak state, Father, they must pay for it. And he said, Lord, O God, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me. May the strength of God come to somebody right now. Whether it's mental strength, moral strength, emotional strength, psychological strength, spiritual strength, financial strength, social strength, material strength, whatever it is, may you receive strength. May the may the church receive strength to march on in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be a certain age, but may you receive strength of a young man and of a young woman. Can I hear an amen? May you receive energy and vitality in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord reactivate your strength, that the often weakness in your body shall disappear, that the manifest sicknesses in your body shall be arrested and overpowered. May bones in your body be strengthened. May tissues be strengthened. May cartilages be strengthened. May nerves be strengthened. May your cells be strengthened. May even your blood be strengthened. May you be strengthened from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that there shall be no weakness in your body. May your manhood be strengthened. May your production of sperms be strengthened. May you have massive production of sperms, with strength in the sperms, with the ability to swim and find the ovary. Can I hear an amen? I am prophesying. May your strength never fail. May you be stronger as never before. May your womb be touched by God, that any weakness shall depart from it, that in its stead shall come forth the strength of God. May your dreams never fail, but may God help you and strengthen your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Samson held the pillars and pulled them down. And Samson himself died that day because he felt so ashamed to be so humiliated. And the Bible says, in his death, he slew more people than when he was alive. Can I prophesy to you? In the moment when it seems like you are weak, may the breath of your prayer slay more enemies than you have ever. Come on. Are you hearing me? Can I hear an amen? That is why you will not die. Even in bed, where sickness, disease seem to be gaining advantage, may God turn the tables to favor you. May God turn the tide to favor you. And may weakness be converted to strength. And may you arise out of that bed by the word of God and begin to walk. Can I hear a powerful amen from somebody? It was the same God who earlier on in Judges 16 verse 3 had strengthened Samson's hand when he had visited the camp of the Philistines And when they knew he was around, they shut all the main gates so that he would have no place to leave the city. And eventually, what happened was, something came to the gate. The Bible says in Judges 16:3, and it was that same strength that enabled him to take the doors of the gate of the city and carry them to the top of the hill before Hebron. May you receive strength. Oh, come on. Whatever language it is, whether it is Hiwale, whether it is Kerifi, whatever it is, may you receive strength. I'm preaching. The Bible said that you will be strengthened on your inner man with might and with strength, that nothing can break you, that negative circumstances cannot break you, that you will ever be stronger and a force to reckon with, marching on and gaining grounds and conquering territories and slaying giants and prevailing over all the enemies of your forebears, including them that seek to attack you. I declare an anointing release upon your life. I declare the power of God release upon your life today to empower you and to strengthen you, to overshadow you, and to cause you to arise in the name of Jesus. For you will arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is rising upon your hands. Can you clap in your strength and shout in your strength to the Most High God? The Bible says, for the children are come to the place of birth, but there is no strength to deliver. Oh, today that shall not be the story in your life. You will not come to the place of delivery. You shall not be in the labor ward and lack strength. I pray that God will visit you. The angel of God will break through your weakness and appear to you. That strength shall come to you. That what God has called you to do, you will achieve it before you depart from this world. It may look colossal. It may look impracticable. It may look unachievable. But there is a God whose strength can make you achieve something in 1 year that in your lifetime you have never been able to achieve. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are not finished yet. It is not over yet, because strength is coming, energy is coming, vitality is coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Sambalat and Tobias came to discourage the Israelites when they were being led by Nehemiah for the reconstruction of the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down. These men, Sambalat, Tobiah, and their colleague came in to discourage them. And they will make, you know, uncomplimentary remarks about the work they were doing. They will criticize them badly. They will say things to discourage them. But I want to speak to you. The reason why somebody is speaking discouraging words into your ears, whether natural or supernatural, is because you are about to accomplish something good. The walls of your life are being reconstructed. And the gates that were burned with fire have been put in place. So the Bible says, and the Lord strengthened our hands to work. Oh, come on, the building that you have started, like Zerubbabel, may your hands be strengthened, that as you lay the foundation stone, you will be the same person to lay the headstone. May you have no uncompleted project in your life. May you have no unfinished business in your life. Whatever you start, may you complete well. May Alpha begin with you, and may Omega end with you successfully. I declare any outstanding issues for which we need to put an end to in your life, whether it's academia
or whether it is in your project or your business or even raising your children or in your health, I speak the word of God today and I declare, may you receive strength. May strength be injected into your life, infused into your life. May the energies of God be availed to you. May the power of God overshadow you. May you be able to walk when you couldn't walk. If you were crawling, may you start running. And if you were running, may you mount up with wings like the eagles and stop soaring above your limitations. You will not remain down because you are destined to rise. May your heart be strengthened. May your trachea be strengthened. May your duodenum be strengthened. May your lungs be strengthened in Jesus. I'm prophesying. May your liver be strengthened. May your kidneys be strengthened by the power of God. May your large and small intestines be strengthened. May your eyes be strengthened. May your ears be strengthened. Are you hearing me? May your arms be strengthened. And may your feet be strengthened. May your backbone be strengthened. And your whole body be strengthened. Receive strength. Receive supernatural strength. You will not be weak anymore. You will be strong by the grace of God. Let your amen supersede my declaration. Sarah herself, through faith, for through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Strength that was supernaturally provided. Strength that was given from on high. Strength that came from above. I like Psalm 96 verse 6. And I've read it a number of times. But in studying about strength, more light was thrown into this. Onto this. Psalm 96 and verse number 6. It says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary or his holy place. Honor and majesty before him. Strength and beauty are in a sanctuary. If you want to be honored, go into the sanctuary of the Lord. Go into the presence of God. Don't fight people. Don't become arrogant. Don't say, if they don't greet me, I won't greet them. As for me, if you respect me before I respect you. Just cultivate humility in your heart and relate to all men with the humility in your heart. But go before the presence of God. Don't go and tell other people that they are not respecting you. Honor is in the presence of God. You can pay bribe for it, but you must maintain it by bribe. And you can't sustain it by bribe. So honor and majesty. There's something kingly about God. Honor talks about respect and something weighty. God doesn't want a featherweight champion. He wants a heavyweight champion. A super heavyweight champion. And when honor comes to you, you leave your weight domain of a featherweight and a bantamweight champion, and you become a super heavyweight champion. Because if you are a bantamweight champion, one blow from a heavyweight can finish you. I declare you are heavyweights in the presence of God. The majesty is talking about the kingly richness of God. When God is appearing, there is something you see about him. You see that this is a king. and his kingdom is not like the kings of the earth. When he speaks, his authority supersedes all other authority, and his sovereignty supersedes everything. The Bible says if you want honor and if you want some of the majesty to rub on you, then they can be found in his sanctuary. And you must learn to go in the presence of God and stop saying that they don't respect me in my family. I haven't got time for that business. When Moses went to stay in the presence of God in the mountain and he returned, nobody told Israel to respect him. They just saw it and they covered their faces because the glory upon him was so resplendent that it would have destroyed their natural eyes. Then the Bible says, the next one, it says, strength and beauty are found in a sanctuary. Let me start from beauty. If you want to look very attractive, stay continually in the presence of God. If you want to be looking younger, fresh, and good, stay in the presence of God. Why did he hear? A little touch of your makeup. Oh, come on. A little touch of your makeup will just be blown up for you. A little touch of your makeup will be magnified. And you will find what you wear and looks super amazing. When another person wears it, it will look common on the person. It is because of a supernatural beauty. If you were rejected in marriage, may your beauty supernatural be restored. A young man, a young woman seeking for marriage, you don't have to lower yourself. Seek for the beauty of God. Don't copy the world and look funny. Oh, come on. I don't want to cite any examples. And look weird and look strange for acceptance in your peer group. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But just let the presence of God be the factor that settles upon you. And a decent haircut will make you shine. Now let me come to strength. So honor and majesty are there, and strength and beauty are also there. There are times we all feel weak. The Bible said David, the strong man, there was a battle when he didn't realize his strength had gone down, and he was almost slain till the men of war came to cover him and said, "Sir, you are the light of Israel, and you need not come this far." May we learn how to protect our leaders. Oh, I thought you'd be clapping. You are also a leader in your family. May God protect you. I pray for you. You are a leader in your workplace, your department. May God protect your life. You are a leader in your department. May God protect your life. And you are the leader in the organization that God has made you managing director or CEO. May God protect your life. You are the leader in the church where God has ordained you to pastor. May God protect your life, that even in your moments of weakness, he'll be your shield and your exceeding great rewards. Is that not a good place to have said a lovely amen? The pastor doesn't have to be vulnerable financially, that he goes out begging. He must be covered. The pastor doesn't have to be vulnerable being in some places. He has to be protected. Are you hearing me? He's prayerful, but let some intercessors pray more for him. David was shielded because he had come down in strength. And we must be fast to discern that we are not always strong. The reason why I would recommend that you use a face mask if it is required, and sanitize your hand if it is required, is because you don't know when you are strong or not. You don't know when your body defense mechanism is strong or weak. And there is need to protect yourself so some kind of foreign bodies don't invade your system. Ask the next person, have you covered your face well, your nose and your mouth? Ask the next person, or is your nose hanging? So, honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in a sanctuary. In 1 Peter 5:10, you remember that scripture. But the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while. Oh, come on. I know people who say, hey, Pastor, I've suffered. Oh. But that's just the beginning of the scripture. Hey, the suffering I've suffered. Hey, the things I went through. He says, after ye have suffered, some things must follow. So it's not enough to suffer. But that you become perfect. Your life is purified. You are sanctified. You are better than before. Some dross has been removed from your life. Like the silversmith applies heat. Like the goldsmith applies heat to separate the dross from the real gold and silver. So is God going to take us through things that will become perfect? And secondly, to be established, that nothing will move us. Can I prophesy? May you be established. About your career, may you be established in Jesus' name. About your marriage, may you be established. About your business and your vocation, may you be established in Jesus' name. May you be established in your Christian life. Receive grace for establishment that you will not waver. Anything that is established, a storm can come, but it's still there. It doesn't move. It doesn't shake. Things don't disturb it. What disturbs the rest of the world doesn't disturb you. You may not have money, but be the happiest person in your neighborhood. You are established. Fire may have grazed down your house or raised down your house, but you are happy because you can see that better things are coming. Floods may have set in and carried away all the items in your room, but you can lift up your hands and praise God, because for you to live is Christ. May you be perfect. May you be established. And may you be strengthened. Ah, yeah, bye, yeah, bye. God is not raising a weak army. He's raising a strong army. A force to reckon with. God is not raising weak Christians. He's raising strong Christians. That the chain will not break in the weakest link. God is raising strong families. And strong husbands and wives. And strong businesses for Christians. May God strengthen you. May your strength come. Today is the day of your strength. Receive every prophecy about your strength right now. And agree with me in a shout of amen and amen and amen. Then after that, may he settle you. May you be grounded properly. I say, may you be grounded properly. This was the kind of strength that enabled Sarah and Abraham, who were past childbearing stage of their lives, to receive strength to continue. It is easy to look at your age and think some things are past.
By this scripture, I have good news for you. In the natural, it may look like it has passed, but in the supernatural, God has a plan to intervene in your affairs and to do that which must be done and make you catch up and overtake by the grace of God. The day I saw that 59-year-old man graduate from the university which I used to work, everybody rose to give him a standing ovation. Because averagely the people who were graduating were in their 20s and 30s, except those who were working and had come for part-time studies. And for a 59-year-old man to move in to achieve his Bachelor of Arts degree in theology was worth a standing ovation. Can I prophesy to you? You are about to achieve some things your mind did not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am saying it may look late, like you should have had your building by now. But trust the Most High God. Strength has come to you, and He will deliver the building into your hands. It may seem like that academic career is over, but God has a way of restoring you. And with the results of the past level 100 or 200, you can transition into another institution and continue what you started. It is not late yet, until God says it is late. But He will listen to you, because when you say it is not late, then heaven says it is not yet late. Can I prophesy? I, by God's grace, am prophesying that I will be holding a baby and dedicating a baby that is not mine, but for somebody who has been waiting for the fruit of the womb. By the grace of God, it will be a miraculous conception. It will be by the power of God. It will blow the minds of people, whether it's at age 40 or 50, by the grace of God or beyond. For Sarah also herself received strength when she was past childbearing stage. And I'm still looking at the verse 11. Because, why did he receive the strength? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. The question I ask you is, how do you judge God? Do you judge God as a wicked man? Do you judge God as a promise and fail man? Do you judge God as unconcerned about the affairs of men? Because I see in the scriptures, God works or ruleth in the affairs of men. So there is no way that He can forget you. The Bible says, even though a mother forgets the suckling child, yet He will never forget you. And He says His mercies will never cease in reaching you. You may feel down and out, but if you can't trust anything, just bypass that feeling and trust in the mercies of God. It is because of His mercies we are not consumed. May your strength not fail. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Let me hear a better amen. And may you be strengthened all the time. So what does it mean by Sarah judged him? The word judge in the original is translated esteemed, judged, esteemed. So what does esteem mean? Esteem means respect and admiration. When we talk about respect in relation to esteem, it is how you value a thing. Do you value the words of false prophets above the word of God, the undefiled truth? How do you value what God has told you, and you allow the media to tell you some negative thing? That word respect means to reckon. It's an accounting word. Or to think or believe or consider. So when we say Sarah judged, she gave respect to the word of God. She valued it high. She put a high premium on it. She reckoned this, that it cannot fail, and that she was destined to win and be blessed, and that there was no way that contradictory circumstances would not make her blessing manifest. She thought about it highly. She believed it in her heart. And she was always considering what that capacity of the word could do in her life. So we said esteem means respect and admiration. And we have just explained that aspect of respect and admiration. But one other word for respect that I like to bring to you is venerate. You know, when you go to the palace of kings that have had long tradition and are respected, and they have sub-chiefs in their kingdom, there is a way that when you appear in their presence, you greet them. You'll find that in some situations, you bow. It is not because you are worshiping him, but you are giving honor to him. In that regard, we say you are venerating him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that word that has to do with respect means that you pick the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In other words, I and my word, we are one. So when you are listening to the word of God, sanctify the Lord in your heart. Don't just listen to it as if it were another lecture or another storytelling time. But listen to it with regard in your heart. Venerate the prophecies of God that line up with scripture and that are meant for your life. Can I hear a good amen, somebody? Oh, your veneration can be a nice amen to the Lord himself. Yeah. Your veneration can be a mighty clap offering. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Respect the Lord. Respect the Lord. Respect the Lord. Those that dishonored God, God dealt with them terribly in the Old Testament. He took kingdoms from some people. Two of Aaron's sons died when they went to burn strange incense. And all kinds of things appeared to people. Some who dishonored his servants, God dishonored them. So you have to take the word as it is preached, as the word from the Most High God. Analyze it, meditate on it, and when the truth is established in your mind, secure it in your heart. We are not coming to church just to show up, just to mark present, but we come with reverence in our hearts.
You know, some people walk into church and say, as for me today, I will not sit where the ashes will guide me. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided in my heart that where I want is where I want. So as they walk, they are being called, hello, can you come after me? No, I like this place. Now, look at the heart with which he came to the house of God to fight, to quarrel. Do you think God will bless the heart totally? No. But when the heart comes and is submissive and explains a reason and said, at my age, my bladder is weak and I like to be on the fringes so that I can dash in and out when need be, it is better understood. I think you can put your hands together. So Sarah esteemed the word high, valued the word, had respect unto the word, reckoned the word, thought about it, believed it. Then we say that esteem has to do with respect and admiration. What does admire mean? Admire means regard with respect and warm approval. You are regarding the president or a minister of state or a minister of the gospel or a father or a grandfather or someone in your neighborhood. You don't greet them, oh Charlie, but you greet them respectfully. So Sarah herself received strength because she judged the Lord who had promised as faithful. Remember that servant, three of them were given one talent, two talents, and five talents. Remember the one with five talents invested and got 10, made profit of five more. The one with two invested and got 4, made profit of 2 more. Then the one who had only one looked at his, despised it, took his napkin, wrapped it around it, and buried it in the soil. Why? Because he esteemed. Oh, come on. It's okay. It's okay. It means I'm preaching with power. If things don't fall down, then there's no power. Because he esteemed his master as a wicked master who would demand results where he had not sown. And when the master came, he took what he had from him and condemned him. God has gifted you. Don't judge God as having unfavored you and put you in a strange continent and put you in a strange family background. What a wicked God. He didn't get me to be born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I was born in a raffia skirt. Why did God bring me forth in that family? Was Jesus not born in a manger? Was he not born in a region that they thought were cruel to prophets and priests, that nobody thought any good thing could come out of Nazareth? Yet from that strange background, today he's seated at the right hand of the Father as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Although your beginning was small, he has already prophesied about your end, that your latter end shall greatly increase. Oh, you are not receiving that prophecy. There is a prophecy about your latter end. Don't be afraid. You won't be ashamed. They that trust in the Lord and believe in God shall not be ashamed, because there's a prophecy about your end. When men think you are finished, and when the enemy thinks he will tread you underfoot, he will tread you underfoot, God will just rescue you. Sarah herself Sarah also herself received strength. How? Having judged or esteemed God. The same thing Moses did. Still in Hebrews 11. The same thing Moses did. Now, skip down to verse 24. Now, let's look at even 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, my concern is, look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Look at 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. In Christ, you will suffer some things. In Christ, because you do not use the method that the worldly people use, you may lack some things at some times, like David. But going through those reproaches are better than being the kingdom of the devil and living in the systems of men who can reward you, by some dubious manner. So Moses, verse 26, Hebrews 11, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. If you are in church and you keep thinking about the world and what your friends have gotten, and they are riding this and your friends have this and they are going out clubbing, and you keep comparing yourself to them, you do not know what you have yet. Because he considered going through struggles for Christ better than walking on the broad way for the devil. He considered going through the narrow path better. Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of reward. In other words, there is no service without reward in Christ Jesus. There is no service. There is no service. Whether it's coming early, whether it's helping the saints of God to organize the church auditorium, whether it's dusting the place, hoovering, sweeping, cleaning, whether it's serving tables, whether it's intercession, whether it's assisting in the car park, whether it's being a steward or a stewardess, whether it's counseling, whether it's giving, there is always a divine reward. God's reward system is different from the worldly reward system. And God may take you through some processes to prove what is in your heart. But eventually, he will bring you the reward. Moses left the palace and was willing to go and stay at the backside of the desert to learn the principles of God than to stay in Egyptian territory and imbibe all their culture and be like them and miss the kingdom of God. Look at how great he became when he left to suffer for 40 years in the backside of the desert, tending the flock of his father-in-law. Normally, we are too much in a hurry to see results. And so we get impatient and we abandon the processes that God is taking us through. Every time we are looking into our lives and wrongly, and we think that we don't have, but God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him by faith.
say you will in no wise lose your reward. The blessings of God, you will not lose them. So Moses also esteemed just like Sarah. And for the word of God to work in your life, you have to learn how to esteem the word rightly. You know, those who doubt, they make a wrong estimation of the word. Have you forgotten the second in command in Samaria? He said, even if God will make windows in heaven, this prophecy by Elisha will never come to pass. You see, huh? You see his estimation. Some of you are seated here. He says, oh, what pastor is saying is tuli. He wants us to give more offering. That's why he's talking and sweating like this. Why is he talking like that? Listen. The way you esteem God is the way God will work for you. If you esteem your boyfriend more than God and trust in your boyfriend, I tell you, your boyfriend's supplies comes from God. And the day the supplies dry out, you are finished. But when your trust is in God, your supplies will never run short. So sometimes divorce is not your fault, but somebody is pushing you into divorce because the person is rebelling against God. Listen to me. Divorce will not be your end. Oh, somebody clap. You will not be divorced, but I'm saying that losing your job will not be your end. Losing that opportunity will not be your end. There are brighter days ahead. Many more opportunities and many more blessings and lands and territory to conquer to God's glory. If I have witnesses in the house, let me hear them shout. So doubt makes you wrongly esteem the word of God. But faith enables you to rightly esteem the word of God. Faith enables you to value properly, reckon properly, consider properly, believe properly, think properly about the word of God. And this is the kind of faith that gives life. And that was the faith that Sarah manifested to nullify the forces of nature that told her that she was past childbearing age. Now, if you look at verse 12, there is a word in verse 12. Oh, can I hear an amen? Of Hebrews 11. Is somebody there? Verse 12 says, therefore sprang the even one. Now, circle the word sprang. Therefore sprang the even one. The word sprang means to deliver. She was past childbearing age. It was not possible in the natural for her to conceive, but she judged God as faithful. She esteemed the word of God highly, and strength came to her, and she conceived. And when the time came, God delivered to her Isaac. May your Isaac fall on your laps right now in Jesus' name. So that word sprang there means to deliver, to begat, or to bear. Now there's another word, stars, in verse 12. So let's read on. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, the situation was as good as dead. It was hopeless. It was futureless. And there was nothing to be done. But Sarah received strength by esteeming the word of God highly. She judged God's way. And because of that, God delivered the miracle into your hand. Can I prophesy to you? And if you don't want it, don't say amen. But may God deliver the breakthrough into your hands. May God deliver his mercies into your hands.
May God deliver his promotion into your hands. May God deliver the breakthrough into your hands in Jesus' name.
So the Bible says, so as many as the stars of the sky. And this scripture is in reference to Genesis chapter 15, verse number 5. In Genesis 15, 5, he says, and he brought him forth abroad. That means God brought Abraham out of his tent and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. By this scripture, God is telling us that Abraham was in the tent and his vision was limited by the roof of the tent. So God brought him out that he would look beyond into the skies and see the glory of God and see the stars and try to count them. And I'm sure Isaac started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then he was tired and said, God, I cannot count again. Then there was Abraham rather. And God told Abraham, just as you have seen innumerable stars, so am I not going to bless you with just the seed, but I'm going to bless you with your seed that will be like the company of innumerable stars. By that I'm prophesying to you that it may seem like you are now zero, but just one that God may give you will make you a multi-billionaire. Will make you a globe-trotting business tycoon. Will make you an amazing financial colossus. Will make you an anointed servant of God whose anointing surpasses the generations before you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By the grace of God. Now, by this scripture, the Bible is telling us that what you see is what you get. You cannot get what you don't see. So if you see negative, you will get negative. You see positive, you will get positive. If you see failure, you will receive failure. You see gloom, you will receive gloom. You see hopelessness, you will live a hopeless life. You see frustration, you'll be frustrated at all times. You see that your life does not amount to anything, that is what you will be. But begin to see blessing, and you will amount to blessing. Begin to see promotion and honor, and God will promote and honor you. Begin to see super abundant blessings, and God will bless you. Begin to see beyond the horizon. What you see is what you get. Sarah and Abraham saw the child. Remember, it was Abraham who was spoken to, but I'm sure Sarah was around when God called the husband out. And I'm sure when that dialogue finished between God and man, Sarah came out to see. So that's why it's recorded around Sarah that the baby was delivered to her, and according to what they saw, God can bless a wife who believes. And God can bless a woman who believes just as, if not more, than a man. Don't lower your estimation of God. Don't reduce yourself to a second-class citizen. Don't keep following the shadows of people and putting your trust and hope in men. Find the word and look at what it says about you. Believe it in your heart and esteem God more highly, and look beyond the natural into the realms of the supernatural. And I can assure you that what you see in the supernatural will come to pass. Hey, pastor. These days, you can't marry you. Because life is hard. You see what you are seeing? Somebody else is seeing the scripture that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Favor is what you don't work for. Favor is the additional that you receive, which is a supernatural jar into your life. Favor is what is the excess of God's doing for you. That where you don't merit, he makes you merit. Where you are disqualified, favor qualifies you. Where you have no part in it, he makes you a partaker. You are either seeing favor or disfavor. You are either seeing shame or you are seeing glory. You are either seeing progress or you are seeing retrogression and backwardness. You are either seeing wealth or you want to live in poverty. What you see is what you get. Change what you see. Change what you see to something better. Let the word of God enhance your vision. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11. Today we are walking through Hebrews. Look, these all died in faith. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded, they were motivated, they became passionate about it. They were persuaded of them and embraced them. They received it by faith and held on to it and confessed. What you say is what you have embraced, that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. We are strangers and aliens to premature death. I thought you would agree. We are strangers and aliens to failure. We are strangers and pilgrims to shame. We just transitioned according to the will of God. You have to see yourself, not a borrower, not a beggar. You have to see yourself not living on some meager amount, but see yourself beyond. For you young ones, don't say, I'm working and I'm calculating how much I'll get when I retire. See beyond retirement allowances. Come on. Look, you can do much more than that. If a young man, you see yourself as having a certificate qualification from a university, and see yourself with a diploma, and see yourself with a first and a second degree and possibly a third degree, you will get it. One of my daughter's father-in-law, he's past 60, but has enrolled at the university and is studying psychology. Now, when I call him and we are chatting, he says, I've been online doing assignments. What are you doing after retirement? Ask the next person, what will you be doing? You just sit down from morning to evening counting the ceilings. He's 60 plus and he's doing his PhD with a desire that he will be doctor so and so. He has worked and has investments. So now he's just taking this in keke. You are a young man. You haven't reached anywhere yet. You said you have resigned from studying. You are a young man. You haven't reached anywhere. You say you are tired of life. Hey! You are a young woman. You are waiting for somebody to come and marry you. The person alone has his own problems. When it comes to marry you, it becomes a double problem. So he may not treat you like he wants. But if you allow God to make you, and to bless you. You will be a blessing wherever you go. Ladies and gentlemen, can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? I had prepared on my notes more, but I've only exhausted one. I have two more. But because of self-control and discipline, we bring the message to a close here. Oh, clap like you have learned something from Sarah. Oh, don't stop. Ah, is that all you can do? Come on, keep praising the Lord. Come on, keep praising the Lord. Keep giving glory to the Most High God. Some of the people at the back are not clapping. Are you not ready for miracle? As you clap, I see your Red Sea opening. I see God taking you to the other side. I see your Jordan opening. I see God taking you into your heritage. I see you entering your blessing. I see you. I see this church favored and prosperous people. I'm pastoring people who have one of the largest car parks. Are you hearing me? And it will come to a time where we will be dedicating buildings and babies in marriage, dedicating businesses, and thanking God for graduations. I'm pastoring people, and people listening out to me on the internet. I'm seeing multi-billionaires listening to me. I'm seeing accomplished men and women. I used to have a relative who said, when I was in school, I never allowed a woman to beat me. Ask me how far he got, primary school. So no woman beating. I say, you haven't met Sarah. When you meet Sarah, you will see her faith. She will beat you in her field. It was an arrogant statement. And for some of you men, you are arrogant. Where there is faith, there is grace. So God can grace a woman's life to excel. You can't catch up with her. You to let God grace you, that you also go and nobody will catch up with you. Is that not pepe? He says no woman beat him in education. He didn't go far. Like some woman would beat him in some classwork, and he will see.